All right, boys and girls. Well, hey, since we're here, why don't we slap a number on this baby? What do we got?
This is episode number 267.
267. This is the Slappercast weekly podcast with your friends, Blackguards. We are celebrating our 20th year of rock and roll. And we're also, this coming year, we're doing our 10th anniversary or 10th anniversary. I'll come in again. We're doing our 10th annual trip of Ireland. And this time we're doing two trips. You can come on both, but we're going north on one week and south on the other. So join us. Come celebrate our 20th anniversary in Ireland on our 10th annual. Oh, say that three times. Tour of Ireland. It's going to be a lot of fun. In this episode, we're going to be talking a lot about Paddy's Day, the 2024 that just passed. Wow. Monumental. Am I wrong, Smalley?
No, that's 200% correct.
Ooh, check out the math on Brad.
Yeah.
Paddy's Day is still so fresh in my mind that I'm going over all the mistakes that I made on that fine day. And I'm so in love with O'Bannon's, with Blackguards and O'Bannon's. Well, you'll hear about it all in this episode, but episode 267 will not leave you wanting more. Here we are, rolling. We got the one, the only Mr. Chris Steele. Where is he? Over here. We got Chris Steele. There he is, the cool one. We got the cool kid, Mr. Chris Steele of O'Bannon's Tap House fame, also Blackwater Draw in Bryan, Texas. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Starting to recover finally.
Monster.
You're saying it usually takes about a week?
Yeah, usually it takes about a week. It was kind of surprising this year, though, because usually, you know, by the week leading up is a whole deal, just getting ready, and we're getting a bunch of kegs delivered, we're decorating, we're, you know, getting our staff ready, and usually by the end of it that night, I'm so tired, you know, we kind of do everything to get out of there, and usually Steph drives home, because I'm like asleep in the car, I can't even make it home. But this year, It was our busiest ever, and it was, the roles were reversed. I was still kicking, and Steph was almost sleeping on the way home, and I drove home. So it was all, you know, I don't know, old man strength, like I told you the other day, Patrick. I was just kicking. I was ready to go.
There's no old man here, not after that weekend. I watched you. I watched Chris Steele. I watched you. I watched you go from A to B to Z. I mean, all over the shop, and you did not stop. Your staff did not. I always commend your staff. I'm telling you something. Everybody smiled at the end of the night. We had more of your staff saying to us, "Wow, that was really good. How'd you do it?" I said, "What are you talking about? You've been here long. You've been here twice as long as we were." Brilliant.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It was really good. We were happy with it, and no real problems. You know that couldn't be squashed or taken care of quickly. So. You know, we had a couple of plumbing issues that, you know, come with that many people, but we took care of it real fast and kept going. So, it was, you know, and the day before was quite the surprise, because we, you know, pre-COVID, the day before Paddy's Day was always pretty good that night. But it just seems, I don't know why, but after COVID, the night before has just been empty. Every year, it's just the night before we set up, we show up, and it's just been empty. And then, of course, the day of is crazy always. And this year, you know, being on a Sunday, we decided to do the Saturday-Sunday thing. And I was just nervous. I mean, I didn't even – my poor staff, I didn't even put the schedule out until like 4 or 5 days before, because I was just wrestling with what's going to happen Saturday. Are we gonna go, you know, balls to the wall, or is it going to be a dud? And I don't want to waste their time, because, you know, Friday we had to get there and set everything up and put the fence up and decorate the tent and get the bar out there and do all that. And so they spent a lot of hours up there, and then they had to work Friday night. And then, you know, the question would be, have them all come in and waste their time, or, you know, thank God we did bring them all in. And thankfully it was the latter, because, you know, I asked them, I said, you know, what do y'all want to do? And they were all for it. Every one of them was like, let's hope for the best. Let's positive attitude. Let's do it. And so we brought them all in early, and man, thank God we did, because Saturday was nonstop as well.
Wow. You deserve it. Well deserved. You put that product out. Is this year 18, Chris?
This is 18 for O'Bannon's. For the street, I believe it's our 14th year. I believe it was our for that.
Yeah, 14. But 18 for the pub. But you haven't wavered. The only thing you know. O'Bannon's Tap House has stayed true to your vision. You know, 18 years plus. You know us for 20 years now. We've circled the country up and down, back and forth, all over, and it's so rare to see a pub that's. And I can probably list on one hand the clubs that we know for that long that have been able to establish themselves and carry that vision forward. You have to be commended for it. And also Steph too, man, she works her ass off. I know why she fell asleep on Patty's night.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, couldn't do it without her. You know, we're definitely a team in our business. And I think, you know, part of it's just being hands-on. We're very hands-on. We're not the type of owners that just sit back and you know, let everybody else run it. While we're never there. I see a lot of bars where people are never there. And there can be success in that model too, but I can't do it. I like to have my fingers in it and just every aspect just – keep it going the right direction that I want it to go.
Yeah. About how long of a day was that for you on Patty's Day?
Sunday, usually we open at 7 in the morning, but because it was Sunday, we couldn't open until 10. But there's a bar right next to us, and above that, there's some apartments. And we rent one of those apartments that we just use it for storage mostly. We keep all our, you know, St. Patrick's Day decorations up there and just we have to keep receipts and stuff for so many years. So we just use it for storage, and it's real handy on St. Patrick's Day because it's got a little kitchen in there and bathroom. And so our staff, you know, when it's packed and there's the long lines for the bathroom and all that, our staff can just run up there and use that bathroom. And then we keep it stocked with Gatorades and, you know, bananas and nuts and food and just stuff for them to eat on and munch on while they're up there, and just go up there and get away from everybody for a little bit, take a break. So on Patty's Day weekend or whenever it falls, I usually actually just stay up there the whole time. So I went up there Friday morning I went to get the generator and brought it, and then they were coming to set the tent up and all that. And so I didn't go home until Monday. I just stayed up there the whole time. So as far as how long I was there, I had never left for like 3 days. but generally, yeah, it's our staff came in about 8:30 or 9, and we didn't leave till about maybe 4:30 or 5 in the morning, maybe.
Yeah. Gosh, that's incredible.
I remember one year, because next year it's on a Monday, right? And so years ago when it was on a Monday, we decided to do a 3-day Patty's Day, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And man, I don't know if we could ever do that again. It just made our staff feral. You know, we had that apartment up there, and they were actually good sports about it, and they were all about it. So they would go up there and take a nap in a sleeping bag and come back down for the next shift and just rotating in. And it was 3 days long, and it was just insane. And by the end of it, we were finished cleaning up. We came up the next day to finish finish cleaning, doing stuff, distribute all their tips and all that. And we gave them some beer and told them they could go up to that apartment and hang out till Steph and I were done. And man, it was only like 30 minutes. And by the time we went up there, they were feral. The keg was like empty and in like 30 minutes, and they were running around, you know, half dressed. And I don't know, man. So I don't know if we would ever do a 3-day event again, maybe, but we'll have to figure that out for next year. But for sure, Sunday and Monday.
What year was that? Do you remember?
I don't even remember. It had to be, at least, 2009? Or I'd have to look at the calendar.
No. I'm just curious to know which of those days we played.
Yeah, it was definitely a Saturday, Sunday, Monday thing.
Yeah.
You know, and being on the Monday next year, it's after spring break. So the city only lets us block off the street when it's, you know, during spring break, because the A&M buses are running on that street and stuff. So most years it does fall on Tuesday through Sunday. It's during spring break. So next year it'll fall on that one Monday that's after. So we wouldn't have the street on Monday, but we should still be able to do it that weekend.
I think it's Tuesday. It falls on a Tuesday this year for some reason.
Oh, is it on a Tuesday?
Yeah, I think it's on a Tuesday this year.
That would then that would, if it's on a Tuesday, then that would make it on the Tuesday. It should be during spring break, I would think. So that means we would be able to do the street we'd probably block it off Monday and do Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, then that works. That works out better too, because you still get Friday and Saturday. You know, it doesn't. The beauty of College Station is they're not going to miss a shift. They're not going to miss a shift at the bar. And I'm talking about the punters too. You know, they're going to come in for their. You know, man, we've said it 1,000 times. We've said it 1,000,000 times. The kids that drink there are just so polite. There was just zero. We saw the one guy on stage right that was just kind of hanging off the speakers, you know, for a bit. And other than that, man, it was just, I mean, they're just the nicest kids. We had that. We were taking pictures at 2:15, 2:30 in the morning. There's still a line of kids waiting in line patiently to take pictures with us. I said, where the fuck do you get the energy? Again,
they're great. Our customer base is really good. We don't ever have any problems with them. I mean, there's you see bars that have fights every weekend and it's problem. We've been open 18 years and we haven't even ever had, I wouldn't even say 5 fights, and the ones we had weren't even really that bad. Everybody that comes to O'Bannon's, even on like that day, and it's when there's that many people, everybody's just laid back and happy and just chill, you know? Yeah. So I'm very thankful for that. We've got a really good group of customers that come in.
Well, it starts with you and Steph. You guys didn't tolerate the staff. I remember one year, and I won't say who it was, but I remember one year there was a, let's just call it an MC, there was somebody on the mic. Let's just say that there was somebody on the mic, and they were doing the, you know, hey, show us your tits, this kind of thing. And I remember you said to me, you said, man, we don't do that shit here. That's not our, because we don't do that as a band. And, you know, you said, yeah, we don't do. And I was just like, I like this guy. I mean, this is because when you when you bring that shit in, when you start with that Hooters mentality, you're going to end up with the scrapping, with the, you know, with the macho, you know, rooster running around there, you know, it's just, we don't need it. And it's such a blast to play for kids that we've never done this, but we could play the same set every single time and they would be just as happy every single time.
I love the end of the night. They probably heard that song 4 times already and they still did a Congo line. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah,
I've never seen a Congo line where you guys were going around. I pulled my camera out to record, and as soon as I did that, because I watched it for a while, and I was like, "Oh man, I should be recording this." And I pulled my phone out, and then they stopped like that.
Yeah. Typical.
I know you're saying how amazingly busy it was that weekend. We that's all we talked about for days afterwards, just because we've done, I mean, I don't know how many times we've done Paddy's Day at your place, but it's been for virtually countless at this point. But, you know, often in the past, it would be busy, but, you know, we'd be there for the entire, you know, afternoon into the evening, into the wee hours, and it would usually start off good, but it wouldn't be packed. You know, people would be there, they'd be a little more relaxed, they'd have their kids there, and then that crowd would kind of rotate out, and then around somewhere in the middle of the afternoon or early evening it really would get packed.
Yeah,
this time it was packed from the word go, and it never dissipated right up until the Congo line part that you're talking about.
Yeah,
that was remarkable. I mean,
I was surprised too, because the Congo line was like at 1:30 or 1:40. It was late.
1:35 a.m.
Yeah, I was surprised with how many people too, because, well, we had that threat of bad weather looming over us all week.
Yes.
And the day we actually didn't even set up the tent until, they did put up the tent on Friday, but they came and put the walls up the next day because the local weather guy was talking about there was going to be 70 mile an hour wind gusts and hail. And And we, you know, luckily we never saw any of that. You know, I think it rained for, you know, maybe 10 minutes while right after we did the relay, the Guinness relay started dumping rain.
I think it started during our set right before the relay. And because I have footage of the relay, and you could still see the water gushing off to the side. But it didn't last much longer than that.
Yeah. And so for those who don't know, Chris, explain this Guinness relay team. And I need to know who won because I wasn't there for the end of it. So question number one, explain the can you explain the Guinness relay? And number two, who won it this year?
Yeah, it's we first saw it. We went to the that Houston Irish Festival, and we saw it there. And so we took that idea to O'Bannon's, and she now probably 10 years ago or so. And but yeah, it's a team of four, and you see which team can drink a full 20-ounce pint of Guinness the fastest. You know, it's a relay, so the first person goes, and when they're done, they hold it up, you know, over their head to show that it's empty. And then the next person goes, and it just goes down the line, all four. And, you know, the O'Bannon's, it's been, I want to say they won the last, so I think it was 2019, the O'Bannon's team won for the last time. And ever since then, it has been the same team called, they're called Pollock Shamrocks. And they don't even live here anymore. They live in Houston or wherever they, and they drive in to our Paddy's Day just to defend their title every year. And they've won it the last, like, I guess 4 or 5 years in a row now. And I don't think they can be beaten. It is insane how fast they drink it. I can't drink that fast. I can.
Do you remember the time? Do you recall the winning time?
So really they got it in like 18 seconds, but we have a guy up front, and if they're spilling some down their face, we might give them a second or 2 seconds. Added to their time. So I know they got a 2 second penalty. So it put them at like 20 point something. But really, I mean, 18 to 20 seconds for four people.
Yeah, and they still won.
Yeah. And that is really fast. And
this is Guinness. This is thick. This is, yeah. You know, and it's, you know, and it's also another testament to the pub too. You didn't send up, you know, four white pints of Guinness. I mean, you sent up four perfect pints, you know, just, it was, It's remarkable to me. The one thing that I do take issue with is your beard is better than the fake red beard. Your red beard is better than the fake red beard that you wear with your hat. And I know,
and I get that comment occasionally that day, but I've been wearing that same hat for so long that it's just tradition, and I keep wearing it. You know.
Yeah. No, you have to. You have to. But you're just it's so great because you can find you anywhere because you know you got that huge hat. There he is. He's over there. You can see him across the sea of people all the time, and the beard. As soon as you turn around, you go, "That's him." But yeah, it's funny though. It'd be just.
It is starting to get worn out though, so I'm either gonna have to stop wearing the beard part or get a new hat. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll get you another one. We'll skin a redhead for you. We'll make one. So Chris, let me ask you this. Paddy's Day 2025, rules be damned, if you could just add anything to the festival, what would you add?
Oh man.
What would you want more than anything at that? And don't say a good band, cause that hurts.
Yeah. I don't know. We added the photo booth this year. That was a lot of fun. People had a really good time with that. And I got copies of all the photos and it was really cool. So, you know, I think, I'm not sure. I'd have to think about that one. If I could add anything, in my back of my mind, I keep thinking about, cause so the one issue I hope never happens, but across the street from us, there used to be this gas station, and it's been the property was purchased and it's been demolished and it's been empty for a year. And I know that the plan is to put some kind of high rise in there. I don't know. I've heard rumors that they're buying other property around them and it might be a big one. I hope that when that happens, that I don't lose the street. I hope that they say, well, the people that live here, you know, have to have cars go in and out. So you can't have the street anymore. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But I, in the back of my mind, I've always been thinking, you know, bigger, 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 better. So there is a amphitheater in town that has live music. It's owned by the city, and it's huge. It can hold thousands of people. And so I've always thought, you know, in the back of my mind about maybe doing a huge festival over there and do a big, huge stage. I mean, it's a big amphitheater, you know,
yeah,
with a huge grass, you know, steep field that everybody lines up and sits on. And so that's always been in the back of my mind if something were to go that route, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah.
But you know, the way it currently is, if I had to add anything, I'd like to get, you know, one year we had Irish dancers come up and they went through the crowd and they were even on the sidewalk and they split off into little groups and were having fun. And the past few years I've reached out and most of them, you know, they're not going to, they're stuck where they are. Houston, Dallas,
yeah.
they're doing their thing and they have plenty to do where they are. So coming up here, they're like, well, we can come up to College Station on another time, but just not that time,
yeah,
which is understandable. But I think having, you know, stuff like that would be really cool to get in there at some point, you know.
I've always kind of thought that it would be really, really fun and it, just something really I think it would be tremendous for the punters if we could get a dance group that would do with something with us to where we could kind of pull mm-hmm. back and let them have the stage. But we, you know, so get just a little bit more. A little less Chuck E. Cheese, a little bit more Hooters, if you will. You know, not, you know what I mean, not Hooters, but you know.
I got you.
Yeah. You know, it's just something a little bit more just to where it's a lot of those competition style dance groups are just fucking boring, you know, and run to the end of the tape or, you know, the tape stops or the dancers stop and then the tape music keeps going. Then they just stop it dead and say, nah, let's do something choreographed. Let's get something going to where you can have something, you know, because we're not dealing with, you know, we're dealing with people that are enjoying themselves. And this is a big, big, big event and on and on and on. It'd just be kind of cool to have a little bit, something a little bit more adult flavored, if you will.
I think you guys should, record your version of the war hymn and let me play it I'd play it every day at the pub. But I mean, when y'all guys do the kind of that rock anthem in there and it's just, when they're all swaying is just awesome. And you guys are the only ones, I mean, nobody else knows the war hymn really. And if they do, it's nothing, you know, what you guys are doing. So I think if you guys could record that, that would be really awesome.
I would love to.
Consider it done. Consider it done. We're actually in the, and another thing I was doing today was I was beating the living shit out of my PA system. We had some problems with on Paddy's day at your place, and I've got the thing. It's as loud as goat fuck in that studio right now because I'm trying to, you know, knock the kinks out of the place. We are recording in that studio, so we will put that together. I think what we should do is we should give you two versions. I'd like to give you one, the instrumental that we play, but I'd also like to give you the one with the words in it.
Oh, because, yeah.
Because what I've noticed is Mike and Turbo are the only two that were ever able to do it the way I wanted to. At the end, I like to do, you know, when it's Saul Varsity's horns off part, I like to slow that part down because when the kids do it on their own, they'll just kind of, you know, they just got, but I like to slow it down to cold molasses speed so you can, you know, really pull it out of them, you know, and if there's a version with vocals on it, I think it would be, and you know, gang vocals, obviously, but I just think it'd be, consider that done. That's coming your way.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. You're getting that.
So Chris, do you know when this thing that we noticed, I think it was last year or no, 2 years. It was right around the time the Turbo started playing with us that during the war hymn, you know, the eyes of Texas are upon you. You, I don't remember them doing that in the early years.
Yeah. Dude. That's there's a term that Aggies always use and it's there's old army and new army and everything that is 1 year after you and beyond is new army. Cause every class year thinks they're old army. Right. but yeah, that is a new army. I think it definitely wasn't there when I was in school at A&M.
Yeah.
They whoop in the middle of it.
Right.
They do the first part of the sway in whoop and then they sway again. We didn't do
short,
that. We just swayed and we just kept going. So the whoop in the middle, yeah. I think, is in the last, I've seen it for a few years now, but yeah, it's a lot of what I would say new Army stuff, but it's not bad. You know, it's good.
No, it's fun. Yeah. Good. It's fascinating to see these changes rolling, you know, because this shows you how long we've all been doing this.
Yeah, you know? I know, right?
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, that song is still a joy to play. That tune is still so much fun to play. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, one of those nights where there's parties all over campus and everybody, you know, kind of, you know, the place kind of dissipates, you know, by late night. It doesn't matter if the place is just steaming with people or if there's only a handful of people. And it's so much fun to play. It's so much fun to you know, and I love the out-of-towners or the unlocals, you know. I love the look on their face, like, what the fuck is going on here? The whole room. Yeah, right. So cool.
Next year, football season, we play, our first game is Notre Dame. So that's going to be exciting. They're going to travel really well. And then at the end of the season, we play, you know, Longhorns.
Uh-huh.
That'll be good. It's good to renew that rivalry. I never wanted to stop playing them. Unfortunately, they took their ball and went home. But
yeah,
now that they're doing good again, they're ready to play us. So they're coming. Good, they're coming good into the SEC. So we'll see what happens this year. But it should be a really rocking football season. Yeah,
we're gonna be back there on April 27th, Saturday.
Is there
an occasion? Did you bring us back on that day for a reason?
Well, I was asking Patrick for a couple of available dates.
Okay.
I always, you know, base everything off the last year's sales. It's a Saturday. It should be really good. I don't think there's anything major because you've got Parents Weekend would already be over and Easter's over and all that. So I think it's kind of like the last weekend before everybody starts buckling down to study for finals and all that. So it should be. It should be a really good time. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. And then, you know, you get through graduation and then it's dead for 12 weeks.
<You know? laughs> Right.
So,
yeah, we say dead, but you say, then Blackwater Draw, you know, picks up and kicks your ass too. So just for those folks that don't know also, so we, Chris has a brewery in Bryan, which is only about 20 minutes down the road from O'Bannon's Tap House. In beautiful College Station. So how is Blackwater Draw doing right now?
We're doing good. We hired a sales rep and he's doing really well. He used to actually work at O'Bannon's years ago. I'm talking like 2000, maybe 2007, 8, 9. It's been a minute. And he moved to Houston. And or maybe I think even in Austin, but he moved back to town, and so we hired him, and he's going around and getting taps around town and growing every month since he's come on board has been up from the year before, and we were planning the weekend before y'all play at O'Bannon's, we're gonna do a Northgate pub crawl for the brewery, so we're gonna have
six or seven
bars and put our beer at all the bars and everybody can go jump around and do a pub crawl during the day on a Saturday. It'd be a lot of fun.
What's the website for the Blackwater Draw?
Blackwaterbrew.com.
Blackwater. Okay.
Everything's Blackwater Brew, like BREW. That's like Facebook, Instagram website. It's all the same.
And do you have all these events listed? Can people, anybody can just sign up?
Yeah, we have like a Facebook event for the pub crawl, but I mean, to be honest, I don't keep up updating the website probably as often as I should, but there are links at least to our social media and that's updated all the time.
Yeah. I saw that.
Facebook and Instagram and all that.
Yeah. I was going to comment on that on that. Because who's ever doing that is on top of everything.
Yeah,
it's a little unnerving to see how quickly you guys have that content up and going. It's really good to be commended. And then, but you can make Chris Weingart do that. I mean, I saw him. I mean, he's just laying around. He does nothing, right? Tell him I said.
Yeah,
that.
Right. He's working his butt off, man. He's brewing all the time, and we had it upstairs that we've. It's been storage. We've never really used it for anything, but we actually just converted it into a little game room. We got dart boards and a little couch up there and some arcade games. And so it's pretty cool.
So is Hazy Lady still the top seller?
Hazy Lady is definitely our top seller. And then Contract Killer is our coffee porter. That's still doing pretty good. We're hitting the hot summer months coming up, so that one might slow down a little bit, but everybody that tries Hazy Lady, even at O'Bannon's, like, it's our number one selling craft beer at O'Bannon's.
Wow.
And just everybody that says they don't like IPAs, they still like that beer because it's not bitter at all, you know, and it's just everybody loves it. It's good.
Is that a Chris Weingart? Yeah. Is that a Chris Weingart production?
That beer actually came around because we used to have a kind of more West Coast IPA called Timber Snake, and that was our year-round IPA. And we did a brew day with there's like these women organizations in craft beer and stuff. Pink Boots Society. You've got there's a couple other ones, but we did an international collaboration. It's like International Women's Collaboration Brew Day. And we were doing that every year where we got together with these women, let them say, we want to brew this type of beer. Chris would go over and help them develop what the recipe would look like. But they come in and they actually make the beer. And they, you know, mill the grain. They're pouring in the yeast and everything. They're doing everything from pretty much start to finish. They wanted to do a hazy IPA and they wanted to call it Hazy Lady. So we brewed it that first time with them and it was so good. We brought it back and just kept doing it over and over. And eventually it started overtaking everything. And so we made it our year round IPA.
Wow.
Yeah. We still make Timber Snake here and there. It's not on all the time. We still make it here and there, but yeah, Hazy Lady's a beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my mom's favorite variety of beer too. Like every time we go out to, there's a couple places we usually have dinner where they have a lot of craft beers on tap, and she'll be looking and see, do they have any hazies?
Yeah. People love them cause they're real citrusy. You know, they're not real, as you say, hoppy. They're not more bitter. They're a lot more citrus and just kind of smooth and definitely good for warmer weather, which we have a ton of in Texas. So it's a good beer for Texas for sure.
Yeah. And where can people in the surrounding areas get that? I know you were doing HEB for a while.
Yeah, we're here locally in, you know, HEB. You got some in Kroger, Specs, Total Wine, various bars, restaurants and stuff. You can always buy it. We sell it to go from the brewery. You know, we do everything.
That's the best packs,
place. Growlers. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then our beer distributor here, they have another one in the Temple area. And so we're actually gearing up to have them take our beer out that way too. And
fantastic.
Do a little bit of growth out that way.
Well, I tell you, awesome. You know, we need to just stack up a truck and just drive this shit around and we'll, you know, let's just go, spread the good word. And I know Chad gets so excited every time that, you know, there's Blackwater beer around. What's your favorite all time favorite Blackwater production?
Oh, Contract Killer.
Contract Killer. Yeah.
Oh, Contract Killer's your favorite. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Mine is Hazy Lady for me.
Hazy Lady, really?
Mine was Contract Killer until we brewed Hazy Lady. And I was a dark beer guy for a long time, and I love coffee. Yeah. But once Hazy Lady came around, I love it. And then we make a Goza, which is a sour type of beer with salt in it. And we rotate through flavors. But when we do a blackberry key lime Goza, that's my second favorite. It is so good.
Really?
Really, yeah, wow. It's really good.
Man, that doesn't sound good at all.
It is, though, I promise.
Yeah, no, I know it is.
Another good one for hot weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, another good one for hot weather. It's, and we've been having the luck. We've started brewing a few more lagers as well. We got one called Tokyo Draft, and it's like a rice lager, real light, nice. Easy drinking. That one's been really popular. Really cool. Popular. And we did that glitter beer for Paddy's Day. You know, every year we do that. And every year, years past, it takes us, you know, 2 or 3 days to kill that keg. Maybe, you know, even 4 days to kill that keg. But this year, and I only ever get one, but this year, for whatever reason, I told Chris, I was like, I want to do, let's do two of them at O'Bannon's this year. So we did two kegs and we floated them that day.
Wow.
It was awesome. Yeah.
What is the glitter beer? What variety is that?
This year, sometimes it's our Kolsch or our Blonde Ale. This year we did our spring lager, and instead of doing just regular gold glitter, he put blue glitter in it, which the blue mixed with the yellow beer made it look kind of green and glittery. And maybe that was the difference maker, is that it was green and glittery, but we sold a lot of it. I was surprised. I was shocked. I thought I was going to have that beer on for a week or two, but it was gone in pretty much one day.
That's great.
But that too is because it was so many people there. It was so busy from start to finish, you know?
So with the tradition of having the green beer, is that something that you just buy? Do the breweries, like the big cats provide that for pubs around that time of year? Or do you have to make it yourself?
Both. I mean, they can do both.
Really?
I don't know if they're technically supposed to do it for you. They sometimes will. Usually we dye our own just because we don't want to mess with TABC and all that. So we just usually do it ourselves.
Okay.
Basically, you just get food coloring, like a little bottle of food coloring, and it takes about 2/3 of a bottle. And we have a little way of hooking up the hose, and you fill the hose up with about 2/3 of the bottle. You plug it into your CO2. Turn on the CO2 and then injects it, the food coloring down into the keg of beer.
Oh, okay.
And then it's good to go. I got photos. Connor, my oldest son, used to do it. He's done it for a couple of years. And I would have him up there on that week before. And I got pictures of him when he was like, you know, 9, 10 years old. And he's sitting there dying 50 kegs of beer.
I remember you with the green dye all over you. I remember that was, I mean, it was on your face, it was everywhere, all of it, you know, I was just like,
that's why I'm glad whenever he got old enough, because then he can have green hands and I don't have to.
That's right. That's right. He loves it. He loves it. You know, that's so cool. Well, gents, I think this is a wrap. I think this, this year was just, to me, this was just one of the most fun, I mean, as much work and as much energy that was expelled, you know, that was so much fun. And again, just hats off to O'Bannon's, hats off to you, hats off to, you know, for that amount of time, foot to the floor, and that kind of a production. I just tell people now, mark your calendars, 2025, March 17th. Do not miss it. You're doing yourself a disservice.
Well, you know, and I told you before, I don't think it would be near as successful if you guys weren't there either. You know, y'all are a big part of it, and everybody, all the Aggies love you guys. So, always welcome back.
It's hard to imagine life without O'Bannon's, man. I don't know where we would be as a band. I mean, honestly, it's just been such a huge part of our lives, let alone our careers. You know, I don't know how to separate the two anymore. They're kind of kind of the same thing. So, yeah, I love your bar. Always have. You're always going to be my favorite.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate it, guys, and I'll see you in a month.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, you will. Yeah, you will, man. Thank you. Again, thanks so much for everything, and fucking, you know, like my friend Billy says, just don't go changing.
That's good.
We do have some great shows coming up. If you're in and around Texas, we have some amazing shows and venues that we're going to be at. Just real quick, we just played Bernhardt Winery for the third. Was that the third or fourth time?
It's either the fourth or the fifth time, I want to say. It feels like we've been there way more than 4 or 5 times. But it was great. Great afternoon. I love that place.
Yeah. Bernhardt Winery is in Plantersville, Texas, which is north of Houston, northwest of Houston. There's actually quite a lot of breweries out there now. I've seen, I saw a few out on my way out there, but you know, a lot of farmland, a lot of beautiful backcountry roads and stunning scenery. And we had a little bit of wind, but we had, it was the temperature was perfect, mid to upper 60s, just no humidity. You know, there was definitely, I won't say a wind, but I'd say a large breeze, maybe an angry breeze. But I love that place. They have a great operation out there.
Jerry Bernhardt, the owner, really wanted to show us the new facility that they're in the midst of building right now. This huge hall with a massive stage and a whole little side room for a brewery. So they're actually going to start making beer there as well, speaking of breweries. So I was really excited to hear that. I don't know a lot of wineries that have expanded into being breweries or vice versa. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, we have that. We've got Home Sweet Farm coming up in Brenham, Texas. We've got, I just love these small towns. I love these small towns in and around, you know, the Houston, Austin, you know, Dallas area. We're going back to the Wounded Ostrich again. Just talked to Charles up there.
Yes.
Deep Elm in just outside Dallas. And I guess that's in Dallas, but let's not tell anybody that. They won't show up. I know I won't. Of course, this week we have sunny Arkansas. We're back with our friends at the Hibernia. We did the Sherman Celtic Festival in Sherman, Texas. Outstanding. Outstanding. Michael Logan.
Yeah.
All the crew up in Sherman. Wow. Amazing. Yeah.
And we have Michael on the show today. One of many guests. This is the very guest heavy episode.
Good, good, good. Look at us. We got the one, the only Mr. Michael Logan of the Sherman Celtic Festival fame, and also River Driver, and some might even say an educator, educator of many, and father.
I moonlight as a teacher. Yeah.
So, Michael, please tell us about yourself. I don't want to leave without River Driver, but let's start with the festival. When and why? How did this all start?
So, man, years ago, I've been involved in the North Texas Irish Festival for many, many years. And years ago, someone, you know, shared something with me on Facebook saying, hey, there's this guy in Sherman that wants to start a festival. So I reached out to him. I was like, hey, I have experience in production and audio. Can I help you? Is there anything you need me to do? And so I've just been there since the beginning, just reached out to the guy. And we've been friends for a long time now. This is our 7th festival.
Wow. I remember being thoroughly impressed by the production, because it wasn't like and this was one of the things that kind of stuck with us. You know, we played a ton of first off, you know, and a lot of them sadly don't make it, but we played a lot of inaugural festivals, and they try to push this thing out and they try to blow it up, and they go too big, too fast, or too slow, or, you know, whatever they do, they don't catch fire. Yours seemed to have caught fire, and then the next year you'd moved it to the place behind I believe it was the Derelict Mall up there in Sherman. And
we were able to get a big stage for the first time. We're growing and growing. That was a year before COVID shut us down.
That's right. That nasty word, that nasty bloody word. Ugh. So that, but again, it wasn't, you didn't miss a beat. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff that happens behind the scene, but as a performer and talking to the punters in there, I mean, everybody had a blast. The weather was fantastic. I remember it just seemed to be really hitting its stride. Of course, you know, the C word just knocked everybody off, you know, off track, you know?
Yes. And we're sort of getting back on track now. A lot of companies went under, a lot of festivals went under, but we managed to survive. And I would say it's mostly because of our festival director, Rob Ballou. He is a person that is infinitely more busy than me and gets less sleep. And he does such a huge amount of work for this festival. And it's his drive that really keeps it going. And then he's built a good team of people that he collaborates with. So I think that's the secret of our success is just a good team leading everything.
Yeah. So can you give us a list? We know why everybody should go. Can you tell us, just run down really quickly? I know you've got Highland Games, you've got dancing, you've got all kinds of food, you've got great entertainment. Can you run down quickly why Sherman should be number one on your radar?
Okay. So one of the things that I love about our festival is that, like I said, our festival director, Rob Ballou, is so scatterbrained, and he has all these ideas and he makes them all happen. And so I'm telling him, bro, wow, we got to slow down, man. We can't be adding all this. And he's like, no, we got to do this. And we do, and it works. So we have a sheepdog herding. We have a Viking village with Viking battles. We have a couple of different organizations that do sword fight battles. We have, a blacksmith, a ton of vendors. We have Highland Games, sanctioned bagpipe band competitions. We have a sanctioned dance competition this year. We're going to have a cuisine tent with food demonstrations. We have kids zones. What did I miss?
Wow. Yeah.
Live bands.
Live bands.
I'm so excited to have y'all back. There's a lot of great bands we could choose from, but we can only get a certain amount per year. And so we're sort of having to rotate all these bands I love playing with and I love working with. And so I'm really glad that that y'all are able to come up this year.
Oh, we love it. We love it. But so tell us a little bit about River Driver.
All right. I'm going to back up a little bit if I can.
Yeah, go for it.
So I got to tell you a story. I don't know if I've ever told y'all this before, but I have listened to Blackguard since I was probably a teenager. I've been rocking out to them. And I don't know if y'all know them or not, but I remember I have one very vivid memory. Been listening to Blackguards for years, and then I was a volunteer at the North Texas Irish Festival, and I got to introduce the band at the North Texas Irish Festival. Y'all probably don't know that was me.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was like, I have a Blackguards Pandora station on my phone right now, and I'm about to introduce this band to you. And so that was our first time to meet years and years ago. I was just a volunteer, and now so it's to me, it's such a cool, like incredible honor to get to talk to you guys right now and book you for our festival and play gigs with you. You have no idea how much that means to me.
Man,
y'all inspired me. And so River Driver is a result of y'all playing music for so wow. many years and doing what you do.
That's really cool to hear. Cause we saw you first playing with Aiden and then you added the drummer and nobody missed a step. It's a joy to say, hey, thank you for those kind words. Before I forget, that's really sweet. And it's kind of shocking to hear because this is our 22-0. This is our 20th year and we're going to light that candle, as they say, in halfway through the year. We're going to get into the summer before we start doing that. But, to hear somebody like you say that it means so much because we don't look at it's kind of like watching somebody grow up. You're there and you don't really notice it. And we feel like a new band. We still feel like a new band, and then to come along and hear that story and then to see you guys perform is not, it's not, it's, that's a, that, that, that's pretty cool. That's pretty, we have to say that's really nice to hear. So.
That's freaking amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like sometimes you're just going along doing your thing and sometimes you don't realize what effect you have on other people. And so like people like y'all are so positive and you just fill the world with love. All your fans love you. You're nice guys. And I think that has a lot more of an impact than you realize sometimes.
Man, that's,
I hate to get soft on you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
It means a lot. It means so much. I'm, kind of caught off guard because usually we're like, hey, a little loud. The singer's kind of crap, but that's just nice to hear. And we talk about this often. We talk about the bands like yourselves that don't come out with an ego. Don't come out with a, hey, don't talk to us. Don't get in the way. We've played with so many of those bands that are just not the people that you want to A, play with or B, be associated with. And that really is. It's a joy and it's just a privilege to honor for you, River Driver, to say that. It means a lot. So, yeah, I just can't wait to do it again, man. To do it many more times because we really do feel like we're just starting. And this is 20 years into it.
That's incredible, man. Congratulations. And I will say that I think this is one thing that the Celtic culture does really well. I've been involved in a lot of Celtic festivals and a lot of bands. And for the most part, like everyone who's involved in this is in it because they love it, not because they have egos or attitudes. And so I've met so many great people through working the Sherman Celtic Festival, and other festivals as well. But I just think I love festivals like this because it brings together a lot of music lovers and just people that want to have a good time.
That's, Matt, well said.
Yeah.
You guys have heart. You guys have direction. The culture that you're bringing in, it's kind of breathtaking when you look at the amount of stuff. So fair play to Rob. This is incredible. Let me ask you this. So we'll kind of tie it up here, but let me ask you quick, I'll put you on the spot. You can get any band in the whole world to headline Sherman Celtic Festival 2025. Who's it going to be? And I'm talking go out, just go beyond your ultimate, your number one. Go as big as you can.
especially in St. Patrick's Day, Dropkick Murphys and Flogging Molly, they get way overplayed, and they're sort of like I call mainstream, Celtic rock.
Yeah,
man, I would say maybe I have several coming to mind. Do I have to choose one, or can I? I'll come out top three.
No, yeah. Probably go as many as you can.
Gaelic Storm, Natalie McMaster, and Eileen Ivers. Probably the best I've ever seen. All three of those.
Wow, very cool. Okay, so I'm only saying that because I believe that this kind of stuff can be attained very, very quickly and stuff like that. So it's out there, and at 2025, you never know, but it'd be nice to play this clip, in January of next year and say, oh, and by the way, guess who's in? Anyway.
They very well may be in our near future. If we're lucky, if people keep supporting us and we keep growing like we have, I think it may be possible.
That's the way.
Yep.
That's the way. All right. So what's the website?
ShermanCelticFest.com.
Fest. Okay. ShermanCelticFest.com.
ShermanCelticFest.com.
Perfect.
Muchas gracias, all amigos. Right.
The nalgas.
Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. See y'all soon.
Cool. Cheers.
Cheers. You definitely do not want to miss their eighth next year. Next year's going to be their eighth year.
Yeah, another band to check out, which we just met. Another band out of Sweetwater, Oklahoma. They're called the Waxies Dargle, and they are probably a seven piece. I want to say six or seven piece band out of Sweetwater, Oklahoma. And not only nice, very, very nice people, but really good band. A little bit more folky than what we do. They do a lot of the same stuff as we do, but very entertaining, great energy, nice people, real, just it's a joy to share the stage with people that are that friends. So you get a chance, check them out. And Sweetwater, Oklahoma, who would have thought? Not I.
This is looking ahead to next month, but we have Susan and Doug Berry with us on this episode. They gave us a preview of the what is now branded the Lone Star Celtic Festival.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have with us Doug and Susan Berry. Look at that. Yeah, the good-looking one, that's Susan. Yeah, I don't even tell them. Doug, right before we turned on, I was just so impressed with your beard.
It's about the only place that it does grow. It's kind of falling out here, and then of course my nose and my ears, it just starts going everywhere.
Yeah.
But.
That's impressive. I've got the Barbie and Ken stick on one. I just take it off at night.
Very nice.
Listen, so great to have you on. Just wanted to let people know about this festival. If you can, just tell us a little bit about yourselves, and then if you would, just because I'd like to know about this festival too. But so, Doug and Susan, who are you?
Well, we're Doug and Susan Berry. Married, and going on 5 years, mm-hmm. And we're both entrepreneurs. We both are kind of self-made. We each have our own company for each of us for 20 plus years, doing our own separate businesses. And when the opportunity kind of presented itself to step into what we're into now, it kind of makes sense. It made a lot of business sense to us. And that really wasn't the largest hurdle, but learning the world of festivals was what we were new to. I'm a competitive thrower. That's our introduction to Highland Games. That's kind of the world. That's how we got into the world we're in. And then I'll let Susan talk here. It was during a period of COVID that actually got us started.
Yeah. So we're both entrepreneurs, but we in no way got into this because we thought it was a business. We kind of fell into it because of COVID, and it just took on a life of its own. And we're just running fast to keep up with it.
That's for sure.
Yeah, but COVID comes along, shuts everything down around the world, and that includes the Highland Games. So guys around the country started throwing what they called backyard games. And it was six or eight guys getting together to throw. And so Doug came to me in December of 2020 and he said, so what do you think about throwing a backyard game? I'm like, sure, why not? Six or eight guys. And 2.5 months later, we had 100 athletes and we had six vendors and two clans and three food trucks. And about 325 people that showed up to watch. And it was fun. It was, I mean, it was a cold, wet, rainy weekend, but it was a ton of fun. And so we decided to do it again. And then we decided to do it again. And now it's just become this thing that has actually turned into a business. And I think that that's because that's just, that's who we are and that's how we operate. And so we've, I don't know, for me, my favorite part is just getting the people there. I mean, we do all this work to get all the, you know, the entertainers and the vendors and the athletes and everybody there. But what really excites me is getting the audience there. I love getting the audience there. So, yeah, and last year was a blast. There was a lot of people there.
Yeah. And on that same note on my end, I like being able to give to the community of Highland Games. Mm-hmm. I love giving the platform for the athletes to come out and do what they do, you know, just give them a great day, a great environment and some cool shirts and some good food and some good beer and just have it be a thing that people talk about, you know? It's just amazing.
Is this the third year? Is this the fourth
this
year?
This is the fourth year.
How many years have you been doing this?
This fourth is the year. Fourth year.
So mm-hmm. Is the Lone Star Highland Games correct?
So Lone Star is a rebranding. We ended up kind of outgrowing our previous location. And in doing so, as you know, our previous location was in the name of the event. And so when we relocated, we're sitting here going, well, let's make it a little more generic so that the name will follow us again. If
we have to move
again. Yeah, if a situation changes again and we need to go somewhere else, we still the rebranding stops and we can continue to be Lone Star.
Yeah, that was a big that was a big hurdle this year is finding a new venue, getting a new name, rebranding, doing a new website. I mean, it was a big thing that we hadn't had to have in the past 3 years. So I love it. I love Lone Star. Yeah, it's awesome.
And it has legs. It does not act like a first year festival, nor should it. I mean. It's carrying everything over from years before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've not seen this much excitement and this much chatter this early, or I should say, like as soon as we got started back in January, we didn't see that excitement and that chatter that early with our previous venue. So it's a little scary.
Well, coming in, you know, coming in from the way that we came in, you know, obviously we came in from a whole different. We've played many, many Highland games. We've been to these festivals that have Highland games as a kind of off to the side event, and yours is front and center. And yours is not a small. I've never seen as many athletes as I have until the first time we saw your event, and once we saw that, we're like, whoa, wait.
We kind of like to think that that's our signature. That making the Highland Games the centric part of the festival, and you start with the athletic field and you build around it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we like getting the beer garden and the main stage kind of highest point on the field.
So it's looking down over
everything else and given the talent such as Blackguards. You know, the platform it needs to kind of just rock the whole place, you know? Yeah.
Well, yeah, we really appreciate that. I mean, because so few people know how to, Susan, like you just blew us away last year when you know, we talked about set times and whatnot but mm-hmm. the last venue was absolutely beautiful. It was just picturesque and it was, everything was well, you know, everything is easy, but I'm really excited about this one because this event is now in McKinney and it's, from what I hear, double in size or triple in size. I mean,
the real estate alone.
I think it's 158 acres.
Yeah.
It's huge. Yeah.
It was the parking challenges and the traffic and being able to handle all of the people and navigate that. This resolves an awful lot of that.
Yeah. So. And while we don't have the big lake, we do have a couple of little lakes, but the view, the last time Doug and I were there, we turned around and I can't wait to see it when the sun comes up on Saturday morning, because because we're up on a hill and it kind of, you know, and it looks down and looks over this kind of old farm where there's a couple of lakes and you can see the city of McKinney off in the back and then the sun coming up. I can't wait to see it. It's gorgeous.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And then just circling back for a second, you were talking about throwing. I just want to let people know. So this is such a wonderful event because, like I say, the athletes are front and center. Everything is built around the athletics mm-hmm. show, which I didn't know. I don't know. The caber toss. I don't know that big bar where they throw sacks of lead over it, whatever they do. I mean, it's something to behold to watch. So, I mean, it really is. When I say there's something for everybody, I'm not kidding. You can come and spectate. Yeah. You can learn how to do it. These people are so – everybody was so friendly and so interested in – your questions and your, it was absolutely super. And it doesn't go any further than both of you because everybody that we spoke to knew that they knew the work that you put into this. And we saw it immediately because, like I say, we've done thousands of festivals, but there's so few that have they pinpointed their product and you've absolutely nailed it. So I can't wait to see this.
Thank you so much. That's
very kind of you. Nice. Thank you.
We like hearing that kind of stuff. Thank you.
Yes, it's true. I mean, we had such a ball last year, but I mean, I just have to emphasize that people need to know that this is not just. I mean, you can come and compete. I'm sure you can sign up, and we'll give you the website and all that stuff. But you can come and watch this stuff, or get taught or learn. I mean, people. And Texas, how in the hell is this stuff happening in Texas? I love the name Lone Star Highland Canyon.
Yeah, and you know, even drilling down further, the amount of world-class talent that we have mm-hmm. in Texas alone is just unreal. It's not our only source of talent for the event. We have many, many others traveling in to be here for this. But we are so blessed to have the level of athletes that we're going to have out there competing and going at it. And you're right, they're the most approachable. I mean, they may look big and scary and gruff, but they are really the most approachable, the most friendly people that you will come across.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of the HG world. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And it really is. It starts with you. It starts with both of you and it works its way out and it doesn't lose any of the flavor throughout. I mean, cause we walked all the vendors. We saw all the food trucks. We saw all the, I'm just blown away. So if you had to describe this to a complete novice, to an alien even, I want you to just throw together why it's, because I can tell you why I would go, not being for music or food or, you know, to watch the games or, you know, even participate or learn or blah, blah, blah. What would you tell people, you know, especially the pedestrians?
Well, a lot of it, it's going to depend on my audience, you know. You got a group of women walking up, you got men in kilts, you know, you got big athletic dudes running around in kilts. And a lot of times that'll be the draw just to make them laugh and say, oh yeah, I want to go see that.
Yeah.
But it's the level of competition, I think, at least for myself that gets me excited. And it's constant. Every station is filled and it's just this constant motion of everybody going at it. And you're right, it's a little overwhelming as you're walking through going, oh my God, all of this is happening at one time. When I describe it, it's kind of like a decathlon in the Olympics minus one event. These athletes compete 8 to 10 hours over the day. Mm-hmm. That's not an easy task. I mean, there are 9 competitive events that they sit there and they go out and they're going 110% on all of these events. And they're putting a lot of stress and strain on their bodies. And come the end of the day, they're pretty whipped. I mean, these people are true athletes.
Yeah. Well, and on top of the Highland Games, just the festival itself, I mean, it's just tons of fun. The Celtic culture is so much mm-hmm. fun. I mean, everything from the bands to the beer to the food to the dancers. This year we're going to have a cricket guy doing cricket demonstrations. We have a celebrity chef that's going to be teaching Celtic cooking. You know, there's just something. We're going to have a petting zoo. There's just something for everybody. And
we got to make sure to keep the chef away from the petting zoo.
Yeah.
But I just like tell them, it's just a blast. I mean, it is just an absolute blast.
Yeah, I concur. There's no let up in the day either, because the events are scattered. I don't mean scattered like willy-nilly. I mean they're in place, but there's something going on in every field, right, in every section. Absolutely. And then
And then
I was so thrilled that, because again, sometimes you show up and they kind of just go, well, let's just get that guy that does those secondhand hot dogs and we'll get him. And the food was tremendous. The food was really, really good. And that's, you know, when you're there all day, that means a lot, you know, that
we, yeah. And we've got a real, you know, we did a real push this year for authenticity too. We really tried to fill all those niches for the Scottish flair. So for those people coming, you know, not just trying to feed their 12-year-old and grabbing a slice of pizza or whatever, a hot dog,
yeah.
But for the people who really want that Celtic experience, mm-hmm. we're really trying to fill that need this year.
Yeah,
yeah. And then, so I know that we have River Driver, we have Cleghorn, we have Blackguards, and the Rolling Stones canceled, didn't they?
Yeah.
So Plunk Murray agreed to step in for them.
Yes. Well, to me, they're 10 times better than the Stones. The Stones are old and boring. Plunk Murray are right up there. So,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So Plunk Murray, River Driver, Leghorn. That's fantastic. Yeah. I'm just, like I say, we're really excited to do it. We wanted to get you on here just to have meet Susan and Doug Berry and have you invite our crew out and the whole crew and everybody. So we're going to post this. And so the date and the times, please, if you would.
April 20 and 21. It's a 2-day event, Saturday and Sunday. The gates open at
8 a.m.
8. And each day kind of wraps up around 6 p.m. We're kind of racing daylight. We don't have any lighting out there to speak of. But with the long summer days, we usually do just fine.
Yeah, it's tremendous, and like I said, there's so much to do for all ages. I have to just say, and there's, you know, people, our pets are allowed, correct?
Yes,
and of course we ask them to be courteous and bag their pets and everything, you know, and
leashes, yes.
Yeah. Leashes, uh-huh. Yes,
yeah,
but pets are allowed, right? Mm-hmm.
We have extra leashes in our van because we have a bass player and a drummer, so. Borrow ours.
Yeah, keep them under control. That's right.
Exactly right. So let's just put a fine point on this and just, you know, like I said, thank you so much for jumping on last minute here and doing this. We want to get this out.
Thank you so much for having us on your wonderful show here.
Yeah, it's been fun. Yeah, it's been fun. Thank you.
So again, McKinney, Texas, just north of Houston. It's just south of Oklahoma and it's east and west of all the boring stuff. So McKinney, and it's going to be a 2-day event. We can't wait to see you. We can't wait to get this thing going. And again, thank you for all your hard work. And this is going to pay off. This is going to break records. This is going to break records this year, my friends.
Thank you so much for all your support, man. Yeah, we truly appreciate y'all and your friendship.
Yeah, very much. Thank you so much.
I don't know much about history. I don't know much about geography. I don't know much about Highland Games, but I will tell you this, and I'll make a bold prediction. I think of all the Highland Games I've ever seen, I've ever been to, ever played at, this is going to be the fastest growing of all of them. I don't know if they're using sports a talent buyer or whatever it is, but the athletic ability in that festival alone is just breathtaking. It's amazing. So please join us on our you know, you can join us in the van. You know where we are. Jump in anytime, or you know we're thrilled that you're here on Slappercast. I hate to say it because it's a necessity. If you could just hit that fucking like thing, I hate saying that, but if you can hit it, it helps it. And if you can comment, it helps it even more. And you know, maybe if you have a question for us, just dump it in right there. We'll get around to answering it. And we're gonna have the gang on here next time too, so it won't be just the hairy and the bald.
Maybe that's the title.
Yeah. So, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you. Cheers.
See you next week, y'all.
Love you, boys.